The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
It is interesting. The NFL today came out and said that they're going to leave it up to the individual states and individual teams as to whether or not they're going to allow fans in.
See, that's all nice and good in theory, but right now, doesn't it seem like there's zero chance that works?
I don't know, man.
I mean, there's a lot of time between now and then.
Right.
But if you were trying to implement that today, it wouldn't work.
I'm pretty sure in Texas, especially, you're going to see people in the stands. And one of the things you have to do from a management perspective is you do have a circle. And there are people that you think, hey, man, it would be great to hire this guy. It'd be great to hire this guy. And like you mentioned, trying to bring Rod in because you know Rod.
But Rod, also a former athlete.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's...
But again, Rod's a little bit different subject because I don't think anybody would look at me bringing in Rod Babe or like he was some sort of a mega star in the NFL or something.
Right,
I mean, he had a cup of coffee in the NFL.
Yeah.
But that's not, to me, what makes him good on the air.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. There's Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real. At Aaron is Blitz. At Degenerates 975. You can text the show, 713-780-3776. Or you can watch us on Twitch. Comment there, as many people are doing today. Missed the first 2 hours. That's some of what you missed. And you missed a woman who's dropped 11 kids in 15 years.
God bless her. Right?
I wouldn't go that far, but...
Someone had to do it.
She's got her own soccer team now, so there's that. And like, I'm not going to sit here and try to sell you that soccer is the greatest sport ever, but I've started appreciating it more from talking to Glenn Davis and understanding the game a little bit, because I didn't grow up with it. And once I started to see that the strategies for scoring were very similar to hockey, just a lot slower, I really... gain an appreciation for it. So I enjoy watching it. I'm not going to be soccer guy who tries to sell you on it. It just gives me something to do right now.
I ain't buying.
And that's okay. You don't have to. But it gives me something to watch right now, and I'm enjoying it. And I'm not all of it. Like, I couldn't get into Bundesliga. I watched a little bit. It just didn't do anything for me. But I do like the Premier League. That's probably fairly bigoted of me for not liking Germans. All right, let's get into some Astros talk, since that's what you wanted to do.
Well, Jim Crane seems concerned about the long-term financial effects of baseball this season.
Every owner and player should be.
Do you think that owners are going to be less likely to spend money in this offseason than they normally would?
Yes, and they should.
So, in the situation of the Astros, they have two players basically signed through, two players who make any real money signed through the end of next year, Altuve and Bregman. Everybody else is going to be a free agent after next year. Would it shock you if a good chunk of those guys don't come back? And I know this Astros team has a good young nucleus. Could you see them do really kind of another rebuild built around Bregman and Altuve?
Yeah.
Because what's coming up is George Springer, and that's the guy everybody's talking about today. I said this a while back, and I'll double down on it now. I don't think George Springer is going to be a long-term Astro. I think George Springer is going to get a better offer from somewhere, and he's going to leave. Well, he's not looking to take a hometown discount because...
But let's go back to what you just said. Are owners going to be willing to spend money on a guy like George Springer? Are other owners going to do that?
Will other owners be willing to outbid the Astros?
Yeah.
Do I think...
For a guy who's on the wrong side of 30 years old?
Here's what I'll say. The ceiling is going to come down on what teams are willing to spend, but I still think there's going to be teams that are willing to spend more than the Astros are.
Maybe not. We don't know. And And everybody goes, well, the Dodgers and the Yankees and the Red Sox are always going to spend money. But are they going to spend money on George Springer?
I don't know.
I mean, they are spending a lot of money on other guys, too. I think, and I get what you're trying to do is look at it from an Astros perspective. But if you look at it from a league-wide perspective, what options are going
to
be there?
Well, let's also go back to the Dallas Keuchel model, that the reality is baseball players aren't getting paid what they used to. I mean, and we can agree Dallas Keuchel was a really good pitcher. I don't think Dallas Keuchel's a great pitcher. He's not like an elite top five in the league pitcher, but he was a really good pitcher, and he couldn't get a deal. I would put George Springer, like George Springer's kind of the hitting equivalent of a Dallas Keuchel, isn't he? Like, he's a good outfielder, yeah. But I don't think anybody thinks he's amongst the league's best. He's not a top five outfielder in the league.
He's good.
Yeah.
He's capable of being great for stretches, but he's also on the wrong side of 30 years old. And I think those same questions you're asking about the Astros, every other team's going to ask. Every team that's shrewd. And I'm not saying he shouldn't get paid and that he shouldn't get to sign with somebody, but I don't think he's going to get mega deal. And if he does, it's because one team's in love with him.
Yeah.
And that can happen. But realistically, I don't think you're going to see another Bryce Harper type deal anytime soon.
Well, and George Springer would never see a Bryce Harper type deal because he's not that type of player.
No.
But I'm curious how, you know, and obviously Verlander's a little bit different conversation, because when Verlander's deal, when it comes up, is Verlander going to, I mean, you're not going to re-sign a guy that age to a long-term deal. Like, you may sign him, I would think Verlander, if he gets another deal beyond this one, it would be for 2 years tops.
Yeah, until he's 40.
And I don't know that the Astros are going to be the team that gives it to him. Now, if he comes and brings him another World Series, that's a different conversation.
Oh, he will this year. They're winning the World Series.
But I do think that, that's going to be, like, you're going to see teams, and especially given the fact that the rules on stadiums and how full your stadiums can be are going to be based on where you live.
Well,
and right now, Texas is, Harris County particularly, is the new hotspot in the U.S. for COVID. It wouldn't shock me one bit if by the time baseball starts up, there's no fans in the stands. And Jim Crane, like he says in his quote, is losing out on that income.
But theoretically, it's just going to be this year. By next year, this thing should be sorted out. And if it's not, then it's not going to matter. There won't be sports.
Well, and I heard Joel today say, and I kind of disagree with him, because Joel said Jim Crane has money that comes from sources outside of baseball. You would hope he'd be willing to dip into that money for baseball. And
That's a guy who's never owned a business.
That's easy to say as a fan of baseball.
Yeah.
But if I'm a businessman during Corona time, the last thing I'm looking to do is throw more millions into my baseball team that might or might not be playing. That's a hard pass for me.
Yeah.
I'm trying to keep those billions of dollars that I've got.
That is like the ultimate fan viewpoint.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you take money from your other businesses. You got plenty.
Yeah. I would be more likely to sell the team.
Yeah.
Than to start putting good money into bad money.
And I don't know this for a fact, but I'm guessing his other businesses are sucking a little bit right now, too, just like everybody's business is. So, yeah, that's, yeah. But, yeah, that's not a.
But I wouldn't blame Jim Crane one bit for not wanting to take any of his non-baseball money and turn it into baseball money, because I wouldn't do that if I were Jim Crane.
Well, the reality is, we've talked about this. This is the end of this window, and you know, hopefully they get another title and maybe you sell a bunch of merch and you get back some of that money you're going to lose, and you can bring back a couple guys for, you know, maybe you bring back Verlander for another year if you have a team put together. But if you don't, you have to rebuild. Okay.
Yeah.
That's you know, you've been through it before.
You've got Bregman. You've got you've got Altuve. That's a pretty good core to build around.
Yeah.
But Springer and Yordan too. You've got Yordan for and Kyle Tucker. If Kyle Tucker is in fact Ted Williams
and Forrest Whit. Oh, forget Forrest.
But you've got some guys that you can conceivably build around, but the guys that are going to come up for that money, the Verlanders, the Grinkies, the
I don't think you're bringing the Correas. Correa is a different conversation than say Grinky, because I don't think you're bringing Grinky back. At some point, one of your young pitchers has to become something.
Has to,
or else.
But I could see if for some reason Grinky pitches better than Verlander this year, and you've got to make a decision on one or the other, and
well, you got Verlander
this year
for next,
and next year, you've got them both for the next 2 years.
Yeah,
but if for the next 2 years Grinky's a better pitcher, that's not out of the realm of possibility. He's a younger guy, got less miles on his arm. It's not inconceivable to think that he could be better in the next 2 years than Verlander. So if he is, and you've got to choose one of them, you obviously choose the one who you think's got more juice left in the tank. I don't think they're going to re-sign either guy, but that's just me. But Springer, Correa, those are the guys that, and Yuli, I guess you put him in that conversation too. Although I don't know if they ever thought about Yuli as a guy they wanted to pay beyond his first contract.
Well, it's another guy who's on the wrong side of 30.
Yeah.
So
I think they thought, we're going to get him for this first contract, and that's going to be his prime years.
And I just want to clarify, Greinke's only 2 years younger than Verlander. He's right. Younger, but he's not. I mean, it's not like he's considerably younger.
But Fred, if you're going to how old will Verlander be at the end of 2021?
He'll be 39, and Greinke will be 37. Both guys at that point.
So if you're going to sign one of them to two more years, doesn't it make more sense to sign the guy that's 37 than the guy that's 39?
If he's playing better, yeah,
yeah. So I,
it kind of sounded like you were saying he was way younger. He's
not.
Almost the same age. So
he's not, but he is younger. That's why I'm saying it wouldn't be inconceivable to see Justin Verlander fall off in the next year or two, because he's getting to that age where,
and he's the kind of pitcher where he easily could. I think Greinke can throw the way he's throwing for another 5 years.
Probably so.
If he wants to, that's the other thing.
But the guys like Yuli, Correa, Springer, I'm just not expecting them to be back. And I think it's going to upset Astros fans, but I also don't think it's the worst thing.
They're not all going to be gone. They'll bring back one of them, whether it's Correa or Springer. One of those two guys will be back. I think Yuli, you're certainly going to pay him what you were paying him.
No.
But they're not all going to be gone. I think that's pretty alarmist, because every team is dealing with this now. It's not just the Astros.
But what I said is, if the Astros don't have fans in the seats, they are dealing it with a different level than some of these other teams are. If they don't have fans in the seats, and the Minnesota Twins have a full season of fans in the seats.
Yeah, but again, what other states are going to allow fans as much as this state is, even with things the way they are now?
Well, that's what I said.
I mean, it's going to be Texas, Arizona, Florida, because that's been the ones that let people in first.
But I don't think it's unreasonable to think that things change enough between now and when baseball starts that's not the case.
Yeah, I think we're at the worst part of it now. I really believe that.
Okay.
So, you know, and to me, it's if we get to, I mean, we're talking about what, August before they're going to start playing, right? Or late July.
So you're saying, so that ramp that we've seen of new cases, where the new cases number is higher every single day, you think tomorrow it starts going downhill?
I don't know if it's
you
tomorrow.
You think a week from now it starts going downhill?
I don't know, but I don't think it keeps going up like this.
I do. Yeah. I think it keeps going, I mean, for at least a week or two.
Yeah, I don't know. I think this is the...
Because what are we doing to change it? Well, there's still people bitching about wearing masks in the freaking grocery store.
Well, at least now they have to.
Nobody's going out of their way to slow this thing down. We're just going, well, it's going to take care of it. Take care of itself.
Yeah.
That's not really how this works.
No, I think the real concern is the hospital beds. To me, the test numbers going up are misleading.
Well, the hospital bed, that percentage has gone up every day, too. Yeah. So, I mean, when's that going to fall off? Before baseball starts? I don't know.
I'm sure it will before then. I'm sure it will.
Would you have thought a month ago that we'd be here at 97%?
I don't know.
I don't think you would have.
I don't
think you're being honest with yourself saying
no,
that.
No, because I've said all along, I don't know what the hell's going to happen, but I kind of feel like it can't get much worse than it is right now.
Mm. All right.
And, you know, frankly, like I said, we should have gone through this 2 months ago, and then we'd know where we are a hell of a lot better, that's for sure. All right, quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
The Blitz. The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. A lot was saying that you're projecting Houston teams the worst case scenario. In reality, everyone is dealing with the same stuff in sports. And I believe you, but in A.J.'s defense, this is a Houston team we're talking about.
Right.
But I also think it's, you know, every other team is going to be dealing with these issues.
And that might be true.
And you know what? A week from now, New York may be bad again. I mean, that's the thing. It's a bad day for COVID in Houston. So I think that's where you're reacting a little bit.
Well, it's been a bad week for the COVID
in
Houston.
But today's been the worst day. And now they're talking about shutting down testing stations and stuff.
But see, that's what I'm saying.
But then we'll have fewer cases.
And Lamont says no one's getting dead in mass numbers here. And that's true. But people are getting sick to the point where, is anyone going to be surprised with all the heat that's on Governor Abbott right now, if he doesn't come out sometime this week or next week and say, listen, we're rolling it back. We're pulling things back a little bit. Maybe not full-blown shutdown. We're going back to 25% capacity. We're changing things, or we're shutting down some businesses. That wouldn't shock me one bit. And that's not. I'm not saying I'm cheering for that. I'm just saying that it's a very good possibility at this point.
Yeah, let's see how the mandatory mask thing works out. I mean, they've made some moves. The problem, and this goes back, and I don't want to beat this dead horse into the ground, but when people came back, they weren't taking precautions. And that's a big part of the problem here. How many people went to Galveston Beach?
Right.
And things like that, and weren't practicing social distancing and weren't being responsible. And that's where all this comes from. I'm hopeful now that it's mandated that you try to be responsible. The stores won't let you in without a mask. Then maybe that slows it down a little bit. And again, all stuff we should have been doing in the first place. But we'll see. But as far as how it applies to sports, I just think it's, he's probably panicking a little bit right now too, like a lot of owners are. I don't think he's one of the eight owners that didn't want to play. But I just wonder how much of a market there'll be for any of these guys, and how many teams are going to come out of this. And those guys also, let's say the Yankees are fine, and they're going to still spend money. How many guys out there that are going to be available that the competition will be for a guy like George Springer? So is that the guy they want? And if they decide he is, yeah. So I think. And plus, it looks like we're going to have a real labor battle next year on top of that.
Yep. It's going to be worse now than it would have been. So, yeah, I believe you.
But, I just think if I'm him, I'm worried about this year. Try to get one more. And I think by the end of the season, you'll be able to get fans in the stands here. Because even if they do roll it back a little bit now, damn well Abbott's not going to let it stay rolled back for long. As soon as that number goes down, it's going to be, 25% in stadiums is fine. I think they'll have an advantage that a lot of teams won't have. And the Yankees can fade it because they make so much money off everything else. But how many teams can? And you look at Minnesota and Cleveland, you really think it's more likely Minnesota has fans before Houston does? And you think that's going to make them enough money if it's 25%?
I don't know. I mean, I was throwing out a place like Minnesota. I don't even know what the numbers are in Minnesota. I imagine they're better off. I mean, I know they're better off than they are here. You're right. I don't know what city is because some cities, like Seattle, for instance, Seattle's been being ultra careful from day one.
And California, all those
California
teams.
Too.
Yeah.
No, I don't think that those places will necessarily have fans before Houston does. But places like, would it shock me? Think about some places like in the Midwest that aren't big cities. Kansas City, would it surprise you if Kansas City has fans before us? Wouldn't surprise me. Would it surprise you if St. Louis has fans before we do? No. Even Dallas. Would it surprise you if Dallas has fans before we do?
Yeah, because I think
You think they'll fall under the same rules?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that if Abbott says it's okay, then okay. Let me just throw this out there. the fans you're talking about, even if they allow fans back, you're probably looking at 5,000.
Right.
Because it's not just the that people there's only so many can get in. It's a bunch of people aren't going to go to be around it.
No, you're right.
Because you're not going to go.
No.
There's no way in hell you'd go to a baseball game.
No, you're right.
So,
but 5,000 people at $40 a pop for, what, 30 games? That's a lot of money. I mean, compared to zero, plus whatever they drink, whatever they buy at the stadium. I mean.
But again, that's compared to the revenue you're losing. Yeah, you may have 5,000 in there. Compared to what 30,000 was your average last year, you're losing all that money. That's not coming back. So all this is doing is giving you a little bit of money. It's nowhere near. Because think about it, you still have to pay staff to be there,
right? I guess what the reason why I bring this up is because Jim Crane even saying that makes me feel like he's worried about the financial impact of it,
and he should
to the point where it made me wonder if he's going to approach free agency differently than other teams might.
Well, he should be worried about it. They all should be worried about it. Because I think the impact you're talking about, competitively speaking, is going to be pretty small. You're just getting a few bucks back, and you're still having to hire people to be there. I mean, I don't know how this is going to turn out, but I'm pretty sure that every team, with the exception of a couple, is going to be impacted significantly, and that's going to impact their ability to sign free agents as well. So, righties say peaceful protests are the cause of our recent spike. Lefties say irresponsible and defiant white people who refuse to wear the mask and are causing our recent spike.
I say all of them.
Right, how hard is it to imagine that both are a driving factor? It's not. It's not.
It's absolutely possible.
I mean,
but yes, you're not allowed to say that.
No, both things can be true. And, you know, yeah, the protests, and most of the ones I saw, guys, were everybody was wearing masks, but that doesn't mean that getting that many people together was a good idea to prevent the spread of the Rona. So, yes, it could be both. It could be a lot of things. And I think it's not just irresponsible white people. The beach was pretty diverse that weekend when everybody just decided we're going. And I've been to a few places where people weren't being careful, and so I left. And that's, you know, that's the thing. I think if people just do stuff like that, you reduce the odds. But at this point, yeah, I'm probably staying in for the week. I'm probably not going anywhere, just because, you know, it's not to me. It's not me. It's the people who aren't practicing social distancing. But yes, those things can both be true. Somebody says there weren't protests in Jefferson County, and the numbers are skyrocketing here. Yeah, what is it like over there, guys? Because I haven't been over there since it happened, but I don't know what the numbers are over in the Triangle. Somebody could let me know. But and Lamont says, believes the West Coast cities got hit much earlier before we even knew what it was way back in October, November, and they built up an immunity. Maybe, I don't know. I do think it was here before people knew. And that's why I kind of feel like I'm pretty sure most of us here already had it just from all the traveling. And then when I wasn't traveling, the wife was going to London in January and things like that. And a couple times actually. So, so it says because when we opened up everything back up, no one decided to still keep precautions, at least in Beaumont.
That's a problem here too.
Consistent factor, yeah. So,
all right, I got to tell you guys about Allstate Siding and Windows. Listen, if you are investing in your home, and a lot of people are right now, a great thing to invest in: new windows, new siding. Not only because they will beautify your home, which is nice. It's nice to make your home look better. That helps with resale and stuff. But if you're living in your home, it's also going to help you save money on your energy bills. They've got energy-efficient siding, energy-efficient windows. You could save up to 40% on your energy bill with new vinyl windows. That's pretty wild. And they've got a great deal going right now. No payments for 2 years, $2,500 off siding, and 30% off all windows. guys, this is a they've got senior discounts. They've got first responder discounts, military discounts. This is the kind of company you want to work with. Family owned and operated for over four generations. You want the best rate? Call Allstate. Allstate Siding and Windows, 832-204-1936. That's 832-204-1936 or AllstateSidingandWindows.com.
Dark hair, she look like she go. She do. Hometown hero, feeling myself, can't murder my ego. She heard of my deep stroke. She said, babe, does it hurt when I...
You gonna answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713 says, Fred, we had a coworker who missed 2 weeks of work in January, and he said his doctors had no clue as to what he had. Now we believe it was the Rona. And I think there was a lot of that. You know, and then now we find out maybe you can get it twice. So, I mean, I'm pretty sure I've already had it, but if you can get it again, that doesn't do you any good. You know? But I've always been, and this is where, again, common sense has to come into play. I've always been all about, hey, let's keep businesses open with restrictions, and then people won't do the restrictions. So what do you do? I mean, that's the thing. Because I don't think this thing is nearly as deadly as we were led to believe. It's bad for some people. Absolutely. A lot of diseases are. It's certainly a lot more contagious than what most of what we deal with. But I think shutting down everything was a mistake. But if people aren't going to practice very basic things, then, you know, I don't know what else you're supposed to do. That's all. And I don't have any freaking answers about this damn thing. And I don't like that it's gotten bad, this bad. But I kind of feel like if it's going to be this bad, it's got to get better. And I'm pessimistic about most things in life, but that I'm not.
Are you pessimistic about Ben Roethlisberger's porno addiction?
I don't give a rat's ass about it. That to me, I read that story and that whole thing just seemed like pandering to a church.
Well, I mean... How much time? How often do you have to watch porn to be addicted? Is your guess, Aaron? What's the number? Is there a weekly quota? Daily? I mean,
I'd say if you're watching more than like 30 minutes, an hour a day.
Jeez, that's
like
a lot. That is a lot.
Yeah,
I don't need more. I don't need more than 2 minutes, man. If that.
I will be honest. When I was young, like now, anytime I take care of things myself, I immediately feel dirty, and I'm like, "Oh God, what have I done? Let me get out of here." But when I was young and I was first introduced to such things, such wonders, I was like, "Ooh, I'm gonna stop in the perfect spot in the movie, and I'll fast forward, or I'll get, you know." I mean, it's so funny to me to say that someone's addicted to pornography, but I hear about it all the time. But who has time to watch like hours of porno a day, especially if you're Ben Roethlisberger? I mean,
yeah, I think it was pandering to the group he was talking to. I don't buy it. Do I believe you had an alcohol addiction? Yeah, probably. Most football players do. Most human beings do these days.
Yeah,
but yeah, I think it was. It just seemed too rehearsed to be genuine. To me, that's why I didn't really pay much attention to it. But, yeah. Did you see Rhode Island is going to change its name so it won't be racist anymore?
To Rhode Island?
To Rhode Island, yes. Mm. Apparently, I had no idea. You learn new things every day. But currently, the official state name is the State of Rhode Island and Providence Plantations.
Oh, okay.
That Providence is a very I guess it's the plantations, but yeah, they're getting rid of that. It's just going to be Rhode Island. Did anyone know I'm sure we have a ton of listeners from Rhode Island who live here now.
Probably.
I wonder if people from Rhode Island even knew.
I'm curious on the 1% chance that there's somebody from Rhode Island here. Just text the show and tell me if you knew.
Like, because we all grew up with Texas history in schools. I don't think they... Do you think they really have a Rhode Island history class in school?
Well, I'll tell you this. Like, my wife is from Oregon. They don't do Oregon history.
Yeah, that's what
there.
I'm saying. Is other people I've met from other states, they don't have, like, Oklahoma history or whatever.
They don't learn about the trail in Oregon?
I mean, I think that's like they learn about it as much as we did.
Okay. Well, I'm still just totally shocked that I'm guessing if you're in Oklahoma, they don't teach you about those Tulsa riots either. I'm shocked that I didn't know about that until the last year. That's embarrassing that that's not taught. So.
Also trending on the Twitter.com today, Pro Football Focus College tweeted, who is the best college quarterback of the decade? And they made the mistake of posting a picture of four different quarterbacks instead of 40, because that's how many names people are throwing up. The four that they posted, Cam Newton, Jonathan Manziel, Marcus Mariota, and Joe Burrow.
Jose Burrow.
Are there any alarming guys who were left out?
Okay, what was their topic again?
The best college quarterback of the decade.
Okay, of the decade. See, now I got to go back and think. But was Tebow in this decade?
No.
Okay, he and Vince would have been prior to this.
Yes, I'll give you the names that are thrown out here in retort. And in such is the rule, if you're going to add someone to the list, you got to take someone off.
Okay.
So either Cam, John Football, Mariota, or Burrow has to go.
I would just on the surface say that Mariota would have the biggest target on his back for me. The other three,
I would say Mariota and Manziel, because neither one of them were national champions.
Yeah, they have targets. Did Mariota win a Heisman?
I don't believe he did. I think he was second to Winston.
Okay, so, and there's a name that you just threw out that probably deserved to be considered.
Winston on that list.
Yeah, I, as much as I liked Mariota better coming out of college.
He won 2014.
Oh, he did?
Oh, okay. Did he? Okay. Right. And he came second to Winston the other year?
I believe so.
Okay. There you go. Jameis Winston. Mm. Andrew Luck. Now, Jameis has a case because he's also a champion.
And Andrew Luck, great player, was not an overwhelming college player.
Was a better NFL player, yeah, and a better NFL prospect than he was a college football player.
Right, so I'm okay with him being off the list.
What about Bob Griffin III?
Pretty damn good. It's easy to forget that.
Very good, but also did not win a championship.
No, did win a Heisman.
Trevor Lawrence.
Boy, I think the jury's still out.
Think so?
Because he hasn't won a Heisman yet, but he may not this year.
Right.
But he's won a championship. Definitely on the list, but I'm not ready to kick any of those off yet, except maybe Mariota still.
Lamar Jackson.
That's another really good one. Didn't accomplish as much in college as some of the other guys did as far as team goals. But boy, he was good.
Baker Mayfield.
System dude.
1 year wonder kind of deal.
Yeah.
Well, here's two that have hardware should probably be considered. One is Deshaun Watson.
It's a pretty good name.
The other, Tua.
Also a pretty good name. Although, in Tua's case, one championship he won because he came in relief. The other, they won because he got replaced. So, I probably don't put him... to me... Even though it was really just one season, Burrow's year was so amazing.
It was.
That's one of the most amazing quarterback years we've seen. I think I'd leave him for sure.
So was Johnny's.
So was Johnny Manziel. And Cam Newton, for that matter.
Honestly, to me, the answer to this question is Cam Newton. I think people kind of forget how dominant Cam Newton was and how Auburn won a national championship because of Cam Newton.
Absolutely.
I mean, there were... You can make the argument for Joe Burrow, because LSU won. You could say LSU won because of Joe Burrow, but I could also retort he had a ton of talent around him. He had a brilliant coach. Cam Newton like overcame bad coaching at Auburn to win a championship. I mean, he was a force. Yeah. So my vote for college quarterback of the year would be Cam Newton.
Yeah, I agree. I would have Cam 1, Burrow 2, Johnny Football 3. I think you can make a case for Winston as the 4th. Winston or Watson, I think, ahead of Mariota.
I think I'd have Watson or Tua or Winston. I'd have them both ahead of Mariota and Manziel because they won championships.
Yeah, but as far as just being a completely dominant player for one season, that was Manziel. And really,
it was.
And his year was as good as Cam Newton's. It's just the difference was Cam won a championship.
Yeah.
And
man, that's a pretty big difference, though.
It is, but it's not all that easy to go out and win a championship. And, I mean, if you just take in the Heisman Trophy winners, I'd take Manziel ahead of Bob Griffin's year.
And you'd have to say, is Cam Newton the most successful of the bunch in the NFL?
Got to a Super Bowl, won an MVP.
We don't
know what Burrow's going to be.
The only other MVP on the list is Lamar Jackson. And he hasn't been to a Super Bowl. I mean, I think you might have to say Cam Newton's had, and Andrew Luck on the, like, if you just look at what they did statistically, Andrew Luck's probably the guy,
yeah.
But with what they've accomplished, I mean, Andrew Luck didn't win an MVP. He didn't go to a Super Bowl, made one AFC championship, but yeah, I think Cam Newton, the most successful of those guys too.
Yeah. But if we're just talking college, and that's where you kind of have to draw a line through everything that happened to Manziel afterwards. Just like that's why I asked about Tebow. If Tebow's part of that group, same thing. You draw a line through everything that happened in the pros and look at him as a college player. Weren't many better. Same thing with Vince. What the hell is that?
I don't know.
Sounds like a body's being dragged out there.
Somebody's using a dolly to move stuff up all and down the halls.
No big deal.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, so when Jameis won the Heisman, Mariota was nowhere near the top 10.
Okay. Oh, was he not?
He was not in the top 10. That was in 2013. 2014, Mariota won, and Winston came in 6th.
Okay.
Interesting. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We only got one segment left?
That's it?
Damn.
Boy, I've got another...
Well, we can piss off deaths if you want.
Yeah, let's piss off deaths. I've got something else I want to discuss.
Okay. Quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Blitz.
Hey, guys. Sports to you.
On ESPN 97.5.
Sports to you.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. So there were some pretty good deaths. Let me just tell them. Don't play the song right there. I'm just going to tell you some guys who were on here. Lynn Bias, Daryl Kyle, there's your buddy Rod Beck, who I think you had a fantasy league named after.
I did.
The best guest, James Gandolfini, Bugsy Siegel, John Smith, Judy Garland, George Carlin, Vinnie Paul, Pantera, Ed McMahon, and Jackie Gleason among your best deaths. So there you go.
I'm now following I'm following Jay Cutler on Instagram now.
Oh, really?
I don't really follow athletes, but he's apparently got a...
He's not an athlete anymore.
Right, but he's got a story about who's killing the chickens in his backyard. And apparently now that he's not married to Kristen Cavallari or whatever her name is, now he's suddenly allowed to have social media and be interesting, and I'm into him.
God, is she such a nightmare?
Yeah, I mean,
good riddance, Jay. Yeah,
I think Jay's in the good here. He's made millions of dollars. He's got a Vanderbilt education. Like, this is a guy. He's a prize.
Let him sit on his couch. Yeah, and
he wants to be lazy. Let him be lazy. He's earned his keep. Okay, I wanted to get to this. Gil Brandt. Had a discussion on Twitter today. Best quarterback to ever play for your favorite NFL team. Go. And he said, here are the slam dunks. And so I want you, because you've been around for the history of the NFL, I haven't.
Most of it, yeah.
You tell me if these are slam dunks.
Can we just say Super Bowl era? Does it have to be stuff?
No,
he goes. Because the 30s and stuff is just meaningless. It's not the same game.
He goes back, you know, he's got some old school ones on some of these.
Okay.
Dolphins, Marino.
No doubt.
Bills, Jim Kelly.
No doubt.
Patriots, Tom Brady.
That Drew Bledsoe was pretty good. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Jets, Joe Namath.
Probably so, just because they haven't really had anybody since.
No, you're right.
And Ken O'Brien was pretty good for a few years, but, you know.
Jags, Mark Brunell.
No question.
Texans, now mind you, later on he amends this, but he says Schaub.
I think you could still make that argument. I think
you could too.
I think Watson's the better player.
I think eventually it will pan out that he'll
have the better career,
guy.
But yeah. You could make that case, certainly.
Titans/Oilers, Warren Moon.
Yeah, no problem with that.
Over McNair?
Yeah, over McNair.
Okay. Broncos, Elway. Raiders, Ken Stabler.
Okay. People forget Rich Gannon was pretty damn good for that team, won an MVP. Maybe not as, you know, didn't last as long, but make a pretty good case for him.
Redskins, this is one of the old ones. Redskins, Sammy Baugh.
Okay, I'll go with Joe Theismann of that group.
Okay. Bears, Sid Luckman.
Yeah, again, that's too far back. So,
but
probably Jim
nobody since.
Probably Jim McMahon would be the best one.
Or Jay Cutler.
Yeah.
Vikings, Fran Tarkenton.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah.
Saints, Drew Brees. Seahawks, Russell Wilson. Panthers, Cam Newton.
Yeah, those are all no problem.
Slam dunk, Kurt Warner, Cardinals.
Definitely.
Here's
Kurt Warner could be two teams, really.
Could be. Here's some he has as too early to tell. Chiefs, Dawson, and Mahomes.
You got to take Patrick Mahomes. I know Dawson won a Super Bowl back in the Stone Age, but this guy's already got the MVP in the 50-touchdown season. I mean, Patrick Mahomes, I know.
Do you do the same thing with the Ravens, Joe Flacco or Lamar Jackson?
I think...
Is it fair to have him on the too early to tell list?
It is fair to have him on the too early to tell list because it is just one.
Because Joe Flacco has a Super Bowl that Lamar doesn't.
And
Mahomes has the Super Bowl.
And Mahomes has a 2-year plus sample size now.
Yeah.
And Lamar Jackson really just has one.
And then he amended Texans to Schaub Watson.
Yeah, that is too early to tell. I think Watson eventually, but right now I think you could make the case for Schaub. I still take Watson, but I'm not going to argue with anybody who says Schaub.
Here's the ones he says too close to call. 49ers, Montana, Young.
No, that's Montana.
Okay. Young is, I like Steve Young a lot.
But
the
accomplishments aren't even close, though. And part of it was he didn't get a chance to play.
Falcons, Mike Vick, Matt Ryan.
People forget how good Vick was, but I think Ryan, longer body of work, maybe a little
went
underrated.
To a Super Bowl.
MVP. Yeah, give me Matt Ryan.
Bucks, Doug Williams, Brad Johnson. Boy, that's telling, isn't it?
Yeah, Doug Williams. Doug Williams is a better player.
He goes back on the Redskins and says...
Yeah, Steve Young was on the Bucks for a while, too, by
true.
The way.
Says Baugh Jurgensen.
Oh, God. On the Redskins?
Yeah.
Stop.
Lions, Bobby Lane or Matt Stafford? Leather helmet, Bobby Lane or Matt Stafford?
Again, we got to go Super Bowl era.
Rams, Van Brocklin, Waterfield, Warner.
Warner.
Cowboys, Staubach, Aikman.
Staubach.
Bengals, Ken Anderson, Boomer Esiason.
Ken Anderson, underrated. So was Boomer. They both are pretty good. That's a good one. I'm gonna take Kenny Anderson.
You know who he never mentioned on this list?
Who?
The Cleveland Browns.
Oh well, because Brian Sipe is probably the best quarterback.
I was gonna go with Bernie Kosar.
It's one of those two. It really is.
Maybe they're on the too close to call list.
Yeah.
Here's the rest. Packers, Star, Favre, Rodgers.
Boy.
That's actually a tough one, isn't
that
it?
That is. But it's going to be one of the latter two for me.
Because you don't...
Bart Starr was before my time. And again, in that era, quarterbacks weren't throwing the ball. They weren't... I don't want to say they weren't as important. Well, they weren't as important. They were running the ball so much. Favre Rodgers, to me, is a damn good discussion because I think they're both going to finish their career with one Super Bowl. I think... Favre still has the edge for me with career numbers.
Terry Bradshaw, Ben Roethlisberger.
This is going to sound like heathenry to a Pittsburgh fan, but Ben Roethlisberger.
Okay. Johnny Unitas, Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning.
Dan Fouts, Philip Rivers.
I'm going to go old school here. Dan Fouts.
Okay.
Dan Fouts was amazing.
Y.A. Tittle or Eli Manning for the Giants?
Oh, God. Really? Yeah, really?
And then the Eagles, he's got Jaworski, Cunningham, McNabb.
You know, Jaworski was underrated. Cunningham had some great seasons with them, but Donovan McNabb was really good for a long time.
Yeah.
Never quite. He got, did get him to a Super Bowl. He was Matt Ryan before Matt Ryan. How's that?
Mm, fair enough. All right. Well, I thought that was interesting. I wanted to see if you disputed any of it.
Well, I just, those guys before the Super Bowl era, I think we should treat football, even the early years of the merger, I think you have to treat it differently. But if you're going to do that, make the cutoff the Super Bowl era, right?
Yeah.
And even then, I mean, the way the Cowboys teams were in the 90s are totally different than the teams now for a lot of reasons. But interesting. All right, that's going to wrap it up. Always great to wrap it up with a little Pantera. All right, great job, Aaron. Great job, Hoffman. That was pretty good today. Well, till tomorrow, stay Rona free, bitches.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.